Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the 28th day of December, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Call. I've been struggling with how to begin the show today because there's so much news that, admittedly, it's a bit more detail-oriented than it has been. But all of these stories we've heard before. But I decided I'm going to start off quite a bit differently with some stories that not only we heard before, but I'm not even going to do them because they're so trite. Like, for example, just a few headlines. Here's one from a source that I'll leave nameless. Following his so-called Christmas address, Joe Biden is being compared widely to Satan. Oh, there's something we didn't know. How about this one? It does come from Olivia Murray via The American Thinker, so it's a good source, but the subject is a bit old. Canada's euthanasia program has now set its sights on children. Yeah, folks, abortion has long been a sacrament. They want to inject kids with the poison poke even before they get out of the womb. Who could have imagined it would go this far? Let this be a lesson, says the author. Compromising on innocent life opens Pandora's box and unleashes murder. Hey, there's something we didn't know. How about this one from Down Under, courtesy of Zero Hedge? The Aussie cops are now asking neighbors to rat out other neighbors. They call them anti-government, anti-police, or COVID vaccine conspiracy theorists. And you know what needs to happen to them, folks? The same thing Adolf did to the undesirables. Are we shocked that these things are now happening at such a wholesale level that they don't even raise eyebrows anymore? Okay, well, hopefully you get the picture. What are the news stories that actually might raise a few eyebrows, but really shouldn't surprise anyone? Well, there's this one from Richard Abelson via the Gateway Pundit. The Brazilian Supreme Court has now issued arrest warrants for opposition figures that don't like the fact that the communists there stole an election just like they watched it happen in the U.S. They're being arrested for so-called undemocratic acts, and they include a journalist, Oswaldo Estacio, and comedian, Bismarck Fugazza, who are either hiding out or already on the run. Yeah, it says corrupt pro-Lula Chief Justice Alexandre de Moraes continues to crack down on the pro-Bolsonaro opposition ahead of the scheduled communist takeover January 1st. And a whole bunch of other people, including an indigenous chief, federal deputies, and a pastor, have already been arrested on other charges of undemocratic acts by the undemocratic communists. Still, though, says the piece, the military has not yet taken steps to save the legitimate Brazilian government under Article 142 of what was, at least once upon a time, their constitution. In other words, it's starting to look more and more like a Biden replay every day. In this country, though, the invasion of the southern border, already well underway, may not go into warp drive as planned, because by a 5-4 vote, the U.S. Supreme Sick Court has ruled to keep the Trump-era border policy, known as Title 42, in effect, with alleged conservative Justice Gorsuch having joined the far left in dissent. The court also agreed to hear oral arguments and rule on whether individual states actually have any remaining constitutional say, what a concept, with a decision due by the end of June. Whoa, full stop. What the hell is going to take them so long? You'd think this would be pretty obvious. That is, if they could actually pull out a copy of the Constitution and read it. There are at least two places in the document where it says something like this. Let's start with Article 3, Section 4, where it says, the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government. Well, that's a laugher. Most of the swamp is totally ignorant of what form of government that actually is. And shall, protect each of them against invasion. Well, gee, what happens when they don't? Well, answer, let's turn to Article 1, Section 10, Paragraph 3, which says things like this. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any duty on tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war. Oh, that sounds interesting. Let's read all of it. Or engage in war unless actually invaded. Gee, that certainly is interesting. Any questions? Or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. So, yeah, let's just wait until May or June or maybe later before we decide whether or not the invasion of thousands of people a day is a constitutional issue or not.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
And in case you've forgotten, Title 42 was an emergency public health policy invoked in March of 2020, allowing border agents to block claims of asylum at the U.S. borders on the grounds of keeping contagious diseases, not just invaders, out of the United States amid the COVID-1984 pandemic. And the decision upends a ruling by far-left Democrat Judge Emmett Sullivan of Bolshevik fame, who said the Trump-era policy was, quote, arbitrary and capricious. And if there's anybody that should know arbitrary and capricious, it's that scumbag. says Zero Hedges coverage, the 11th hour intervention may avert a predicted flood of new migrants and invaders seeking to enter the United States at a time when border crossings are already at or beyond record highs. Without Title 42, immigrants seeking asylum would be able to enter the U.S., then be given a court date for an immigration hearing that everybody knows they're never going to show up to anyway, after which they're released into the country and probably given bus or plane tickets to go somewhere else where they can disappear and join their already waiting cells. Here's one more story of a legal system beyond run amok. Despite massive evidence of one of the biggest election frauds in recent history, and that's saying quite a bit, folks, given how much of that we've seen, gutless Judge Peter Thompson in Arizona dismissed the actually elected Governor Carrie Lake's election lawsuit against Katie Hobbs, who counted the votes in the stolen 2022 midterm election. Or I guess maybe you could just say she made everybody the offer they obviously couldn't refuse on Saturday, Christmas Eve. And that probably helps explain how it managed to slip under the radar, don't you think? After which, in true communist style, remember how the Communist Chinese Party used to happily bill the families of survivors of their purge for the bullets used to execute their loved ones? Katie Hobbs in Maricopa County filed motions for sanctions and applications for attorney's fees. Yeah, trying to add insult to injury. At least that has been dismissed. Meanwhile, Carrie Lake continues to discuss the appeal she is filing this week. In the aftermath of the catastrophic consequences of yet another incredibly obvious stolen election. Appearing on The War Room with Steve Bannon, she was asked, is there any doubt in your mind that Katie Hobbs is by far the most radical person ever to seek office in the United States? High office? And the response, absolutely. I mean, she's more radical, said Carrie Lake, than Gavin Newsom. And she's even more dangerous because I don't think she's got a high IQ. Don't think she even realizes what the heck's going on at the border. She's a puppet, said Carrie Lake, who wouldn't even appear on a debate stage and respect the people of this state enough to tell them what her plans were, which is why she had to steal the election in broad daylight. They didn't care, she said, how obvious it was. They didn't care that people standing in line could see right before their eyes that the election was being stolen. And just to bring home that point, TGP re-outlined some of the things they've already covered about the level of fraud. On Election Day in Maricopa County, it begins over half, 50% of tabulators and printers, failed the moment the polls opened, causing voters to be turned away from the polls and creating long wait times, hours or more. And according to cyber experts who testified in the apparently futile trial, it was an intentional act aimed at disenfranchising Republican voters who turned out 3-1. In the state for Trump-endorsed candidates. A Runbeck whistleblower revealed in Lake's filing that hundreds of thousands of ballots literally had no chain of custody documentation, which is, of course, a massive, shocking even, violation of the law. 25,000 ballots were added to Maricopa County totals after Election Day with no explanation why the number of remaining ballots could possibly increase by that much, and also tens, if not hundreds of thousands of mail-in ballots with mismatched signatures were illegally counted in violation of Arizona law. But hey, what else is new? And there was even a new discovery outlining the connections and conflicts of interest between Rhino, Arizona Speaker of the House, Ben Tuma, and his connection to Runback Election Services, the third-party company involved in the fraudulent debacle. Billionaire Elon Musk is still tweeting about Twitter fraud and the Big Brother public-private partner fascist connection between socialist media companies and their benefactor, or is it the other way around? He wrote, most people don't appreciate the significance of the point Matt, meaning Matt Taibbi, was making. Every, and he underlines it, social media company is engaged in heavy censorship with significant involvement of, and at times, explicit direction of the government. Google, he said, frequently makes links disappear, for example. And as RT notes, summarizing the Wall Street Journal coverage, that ought to make fake news media outlets like the WAPO and New York Times blush with shame, Musk was referring to internal Twitter communications published by journalist Matt Taibbi with his approval, which suggested that the platform's senior executives held regular meetings with members of the FBI and CIA, during which the agencies gave them lists of, and I'm quoting, hundreds of problem accounts to suspend and otherwise deep six or silence in the run-up to the rigged 2020 election. And in addition to Twitter, the government is in contact with, quote, virtually every major tech firm, said Taibbi. These included to Facebook, Microsoft, Verizon, Reddit, even Pinterest, and CIA agents nearly always, he said, sat in on meetings of these firms with the FBI's, Foreign Influence Task Force. What a laugher. Explaining that although this task force was convened, at least allegedly, to fight alleged election interference by foreign states, it made mountains of domestic moderation requests, unquote. And this is kind of funny, but I like the way RT puts it. The last line in their summary says, the White House has refused to answer allegations that the FBI directed Twitter to censor information damaging to Joe Biden's 2020 campaign. And that's pretty much the least of it, folks. Here's another interesting story. Similar topic, same source, i.e. RT. And what do you bet that Russia's largely non-transgendered real army is just quaking in their boots at this one? The Pentagon is changing their standards, it says, and the U.S. military is now hiring recruits, and again, they're quoting the Wall Street Journal, diagnosed with behavioral disorder, specifically ADHD, or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Evidently, because they can't make the quotas, they've allowed 700 of them to sign up. After they rewrote their rules on medical conditions, which used to bar applicants from joining. But hey, given that they've now pretty well destroyed any standards whatsoever, and they're teaching wannabe sailors, infantry, and Marines outright perversion to boot, why not? After all, it's not like they actually intend to defend the country or anything, is it? All of this, says the story, after the military decided to allow those who suffer from 38 different once-disqualifying medical conditions to enlist, provided they hadn't demonstrated symptoms or needed treatment for a few years before signing up. And these conditions, which now include congenital heart defects and tuberculosis, were previously considered automatic disqualifiers. Maybe the reason why is obvious, folks. Since they intend to give recruits the Zyklon B injections and no doubt many of those disorders, what the heck? Who cares? They're just fodder for the meat grinder anyway. And this would almost be funny if it wasn't so life-threatening and tragic. Secretary of the Army Christine Wormuth told the Wall Street Journal that the branch would assess the effectiveness of the program after a year of service by the new recruits. And who knows, maybe World War III will make all of that a moot point before they even have to answer for it. Over the long weekend, Dr. Ron Paul weighed in on one of the biggest fiat money spending boondoggles in U.S. history, and who knows how long that distinction will last, writing that those hoping for a Christmastime government shutdown were again disappointed when Congress passed their 4,000-plus page, $1.7 trillion omnibus appropriations bill that few, if any, senators or representatives even bothered to read before voting on. Republican leadership celebrated this bloated monstrosity because it spends $858 billion on warfare while only spending just $750 billion on welfare. No one, he says, should think Republican insistence on more warfare than welfare means that Democrats oppose the warfare state either. Under the Biden regime and a leftist-controlled Congress, defense spending has increased by 4.3% over the last 2 years. Whoa, I do have to say sick after defense spending because there's nothing about this spending that has anything to do with defense, and we all know it. Similarly, every so-called Republican president in recent years, including two who had a Republican Congress to boot for at least part of their term, supported huge increases in welfare state spending. And most Democrats and rhinos really just pretend to oppose the other side of the aisle when it comes to spending more fiat bucks. Says Dr. Paul, the omnibus appropriates $44.5 billion in a giveaway to Ukraine, bringing total spending on that rat hole to over $100 billion, which is about 50% more than Russia's entire military budget. The money is spent, he says, on a conflict that doesn't affect U.S. security, unless you count sending arms that might be used to defend the borders. Yet it's still one that likely wouldn't have occurred if not for prior U.S. meddling in the same region. The omnibus bill, he continued, also provides $11.3 billion for the Federal Bureau of Instigation, FBI, and that's over a $500 million increase and over a $500 million above what the fake president requested. And yeah, folks, it's at least $12 billion more than they merit. But according to communist leadership, the funding increases so the FBI can better fight, quote, extremist violence, und domestic terrorists, Achtung. Paul doesn't say it, I will, which is in fact precisely what they are. And what kind of blithering idiots in the House and Senate don't know what kind of a bang-up job they've been doing? As Dr. Paul puts it, mildly. Government officials working with private companies to silence American citizens is a clear violation of the First Amendment, and it's not like we haven't seen this from the federal bunglers of investigation for decades at this point. It's just that they seem to be getting worse by the minute. Here's one more quick story from the only the blind can fail to see it category. This comes from Steve Kirsch in his newsletter. Lou Rockwell picked it up as well under the headline, "Now everyone can easily prove that the vax should be stopped." Actually, folks, should have been stopped years ago and several million prior deaths ago. But now he begins with a simple four-question survey. You too can prove for yourselves that the vaccine should be stopped. If you don't believe me, collect your own data. And mine, he said, showed that among other things, died suddenly. Yeah, we've heard the term SAD, sudden adult death syndrome. None of those things were an issue for those under the age of 65 who were unvaccinated in either 2021 or 2022. But it turns out to have been the number one cause of death for those in that age group who were poison poked. And gee, how can they possibly explain that? Answer? Don't worry, they will. And it'll be the really stupid Kool-Aid drinkers who'll swallow it. From there, on we go to economics, beginning with this piece from Michael Snyder in his Economic Collapse blog. Also, Zero Hedge and others have picked it up. Economic conditions, he begins, just keep getting worse. As we enter 2023, we find ourselves in a high inflation environment at the same time that economic activity is really taking a hit and slowing down, almost catatonically. And just like we witnessed in 2008, employers are conducting mass layoffs, and a horrifying housing crash is sweeping the nation. Those who are waiting for the U.S. economy to implode can stop waiting because the implosion has officially arrived. And here are 15 facts that pretty well prove the case. The economic meltdown is happening right now. Number one, existing home sales have fallen for 10 consecutive months. They're down 35.4% over the last year, the largest ever year-over-year decline in existing home sales since the Lehman Brothers collapse. Home builder sentiment has now dropped for 12 consecutive months. Home construction costs have risen more than 30% since the beginning of 2022, and the number of single-family housing permits has fallen for 9 months in a row. Meanwhile, number six, the Empire State Manufacturing Index has plunged to a reading of negative 11.2 in December, way below expectations. In November, we witnessed the largest decline in retail sales that we've seen all year long. Notice, folks, you haven't heard much about the wonderful Christmas volume of sales, have you? Even some of the biggest names on Wall Street are letting workers go. Goldman Sachs is now reported to be laying off about 4,000 employees. The Federal Reserve is admitting that the number of actual jobs in the U.S. has been overstated by at least a million. And U.S. job cuts were 417% higher in November than they were during the same month a year ago. Let's go, Brandon. While a recent Wall Street Journal survey found that about two-thirds of all Americans expect the economy to get even worse next year. Well, why not, folks? The same idiots that have been so successful in destroying it are up in their game. A recent Bloomberg survey says 70% of all U.S. economists believe a recession is coming. Oh, gee, do you think? In 2023. While meanwhile, inflation continues to spiral wildly out of control. Most recently, one head of lettuce now costs $11 at a grocery store in California. And vegetable prices in the entire United States are more than 80% higher than they were the same time last year. And thanks to the rapidly rising cost of living, 63% of the entire U.S. population is now living paycheck to paycheck. From there, we'll follow up with a piece on inflation, courtesy of Peter Schiff at SchiffGold.com. Zero Hedge has reprinted it under the headline, "The Cost of Easy Money is Now Coming Due." And since 2008, begins Peter, we've been in an era of unprecedented money printing and interest rate suppression. Now the cost of all that easy money is coming due. We've been paying for it through price inflation, and now we're paying for it through a deflating bubble economy as the Fed tries to undo its continuing malfeasance. In the wake of the financial crisis, he says, the Fed pushed interest rates to zero and then held them there for years. It ran three rounds of quantitative easing, i.e. money printing, pumping trillions of freshly printed bucks into the economy. The Fed then tried to normalize monetary policy by raising rates and shrinking its balance sheet in 2018, but it ended up aborting that attempt when the bubbles blown up by a decade of easy money started leaking air. The plandemic gave the Fed cover that they needed to, again, double cut rates and double down on QE. In less than 2 years, the central bank expanded its balance sheet by nearly 5 trillion fiat bucks and flooded the economy with more money, more money, more money created out of thin air. The bubble's blown up after 2008, got even bigger, and now the Fed, of course, is trying to fight the inevitable price inflation. Trouble is, they're going about it the wrong way, folks. You can't fight demand push. You can't fight inflation in goods that don't exist by raising interest rates on things people can't afford to buy anyway. Wolf Creek, says Peter Schiff, perfectly summed up what's been happening over the last 15 years by saying the era of money printing and interest rate repression in the United States, which started in 2008 and gave rise to all kinds of stuff, and the easy money kept going and just kept going, and all of this money needed to find a place to go. And then the money printing went hog wild in 2020 and 2021. So that the stuff it gave rise to just got bigger and bigger and crazier, and much of this stuff is now in the process of coming apart. I mean, really falling apart, they wrote, or getting taken apart in a controlled manner, and some of the stuff has already imploded in a really messy way. In a nutshell, says Peter Schiff, what the Fed giveth, the Fed taketh away. The unraveling is easier to see in the real estate market, since it's one of the most interest rate sensitive segments of the economy. In some markets, during the Fed-induced boom, home prices spiked by 50 or 60%, and that was on top of a huge price surge before the pandemic. But now the air is coming out of that bubble, too. Existing home sales have dropped for 10 straight months, as Michael Schneider pointed out in the piece we just did. Year on year, existing home sales have now plummeted by 35.4%, and home prices are beginning to fall as well, especially in the biggest bubble markets. In November, the median price of a house in the Left Coast communist hellhole of San Francisco was down 21% compared to a year ago, and down 27% from May's peak. As Wall Street put it, there's been a sea change in the real estate market, and it's not pretty. But the bubble was so huge and so magnificent, fueled by money printing and interest rate repression, that the deflation of this bubble must, by definition, get messy. Easy money has also blown up the cryptocurrency bubble. That one has popped. A year ago, market cap in the crypto sector reached 3 trillion fiat bucks. But since then, the sector's been in a free fall. When the Fed started raising rates and shrinking its balance sheet, the whole thing just blew up. The price of Bitcoin has plunged about 73%. Most of the hundreds of cryptocurrencies created during the mania have gone to zero, and many of them been left for dead. Big companies built around crypto are going under. Said Wall Street, crypto was one of the places where liquidity for money printing went. Maybe it went there to die. And now that the liquidity is being drained ever so slowly, the whole space has started to collapse. The most visible bubble, of course, that blew up was the stock market. Over the last decade plus, we've seen a rash of crazy IPOs. Stocks for money-losing companies shot to the moon. All of the major stock market indices surged to record levels, and the so-called fundamentals during this stock market boom were easy money and speculative mania. But now that the Fed's gone to a tighter monetary policy, the air is coming out of the stock market, too. Some of the most speculative stocks have collapsed by 70, 80, or even 90%, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ has dropped 34% from its highs. And as Wall Street accurately points out, the huge surge in the stock market that really started back in 2009 was fueled by, what else, money printing and artificially low interest rates. And now we have quantitative tightening and surging interest rates, and the whole circus is coming apart at the seams. Lots of these startups that became high flyers will end up in bankruptcy. Some already have. But it'll drag out for a few years, suggests Wall Street, because there's still so much funny money floating around, and people are still buying the dips, and they're still picking up on those now penny stocks, trying to make 100% in 3 days or whatever, kind of like they did in crypto trading. And there was a lot of other crazy stuff that came out of the money printing and interest rate repression era, other bubbles, and they're all now deflating. Some have already imploded, like 1,000 U.S. stocks and a gazillion cryptos and crypto companies. 13 years of free money have turned out to be very costly in the aftermath. The only way to pump the bubbles back up, says Peter Schiff, is go back to easy money. But that means even more price inflation, all of which puts the Federal Reserve in a no-win scenario. It's like the Kobayashi Maru of money printing, folks. The Fed can stand firm in its inflation fight and let all of the bubbles deflate, which means a deep, painful recession, or even the dreaded D word. Or they can reverse course and try to rescue the bubble economy with, guess what, even more inflation. And as your host has said for years, What all of this means is, one way or another, it ends. The fiat era ends, and this fiat currency, like every other in human history before it, ends on the ash heap of history. The only question, and this still remains to be seen, will it be fire or will it be ice? This is definitely one to be aware of and certainly be planning for. If there was ever a time, folks, to understand his instruction, his Torah, about real money as opposed to fake, it's now. So thanks for being with us, folks, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.